Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin of the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How are you, Eric?
I'm fantastic. So this week, we're getting back. We haven't actually done one of these in a little while, but we're getting back to our book club, the Success Showcase Book Club. This week, we're talking actually about two books, but they're really related. The 1 Minute Manager and Self-Leadership for the 1 Minute Manager. And Chip, you're the one that introduced me to these books, so I will bow to you on this.
All right. Well, first of all, The 1 Minute Manager is an old classic written by Ken Blanchard and Spencer Johnson. And both of them have written some great books over the years that are very, very simple to the point. But in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about time management. We've talked about focus and that kind of thing. And these books are really, really great follow-up to what we've been talking about. So the original 1 Minute Manager was all about this person who wanted to learn how to be a good manager. And he was introduced to this person who was the 1 Minute Manager. And basically what it was all about is developing yourself into a self-leader by making 1 Minute goals, 1 Minute praisings, 1 Minute redirects. It's basically simplifying things as you're going through. And there's a whole bunch of different principles in there, but the book itself maybe takes about an hour to read. And by the end of that, by him interviewing people and learning these principles, he himself became a 1 Minute Manager. And at the end of that, he was ready to start training other people in that, because the bottom line is, in both of these books, the people who were mentored asked the person that mentored them, what can I do? And they said, share this with others. So we'll talk about the 1 Minute Manager principles first. The second book is called Self-Leadership and the 1 Minute Manager. And this one is a little bit different from the first one in the approach, in that the second book starts with somebody who already has his team, and he made a presentation to a bank about promotion and advertising and so on and so forth. And the whole presentation bombed. And he came back to his office blaming his boss for not giving him direction, blaming his team for not helping things out the right way, and so on and so forth. And it was the woe is me type thing. He goes out for a cup of coffee to Kayla's coffee shop. And it turns out this Kayla person is also a graduate of the 1 Minute Manager system. And she takes him under his wing and really develops him into a self-leader by taking a look at what motivates his employees, taking a look at the different developmental stages and talents that they have, and so on and so forth, and really melding things together. So I think we're ready to just really start talking about the principles in these books. But the bottom line is he became a 1 Minute Manager also and was mentoring somebody at the end. So the first principle in the very, very first book, first of all, 1 Minute Managers don't take a lot of time doing anything. They give people a whole lot of responsibility to themselves. And so principle number one of the 1 Minute Manager is to set 1 Minute goals. And what you had to do was write down each of your goals on a sheet of paper using less than 250 words, and giving them to the manager and getting together and going over that very, very briefly, and then getting things done. And if things were going good, the 1 Minute Manager praises the person while he's doing it. If things aren't going that great, then he's going to redirect things. But the bottom line is just doing it action-wise and being very, very communicative with people briefly as things are going on. So I know that you're familiar with this book too. So
yeah, and the key to that is briefly. You know, I loved the idea that the goals should be written in under 250 words, because that's always been something I've had difficulty with. I write pages and pages and pages. And I love the idea of being forced to keep it brief so that it's something you can look at quickly, check quickly, and it really moves things along.
Absolutely. And the reason 250 words is that you can read that in obviously 1 minute.
Right.
That's what came up with that. So But obviously it's something you can take with you and look at it. And we've talked about, you know, time management things and breaking things down into smaller components and hitting on each of those. And kind of, this is kind of what it's all about. And so that's step number one, is getting them down briefly, and it's easier to work on that way. And there's a couple of things there that lead to the next one. The 1 minute praisings is tell people up front that you're going to let them know how they're doing. And if they're doing something right, you want to praise them immediately by telling them exactly what they did right, by being specific. And what this does is that it helps them to identify their talents, compliments them for that, and gets them working on those even harder. Obviously, one of the great time management techniques that we have talked about is leveraging your own talents and then using other people with their talents to get the rest of the project done. So this 1 minute praising really helps out a lot with that.
And this really turns traditional management styles on its head, because so many people manage by seeing what you did wrong, by looking for things you did wrong and correcting them. And instead, the whole point behind this was to look for something that people did right. And I love that, because it's great for time management because you're looking at things quickly. But this is a huge boost to mindset and attitude. And we've talked a lot about keeping a positive mindset. This is a great way to do it and to spread it. Because again, you're looking for things that people do right, not what they do wrong. And yeah, it turns it around, and it's really great, because I've seen in corporate offices over and over again, when the boss calls, when your manager calls, it's, oh God, what does he want? Because you're conditioned to expect criticism, to expect them to have a complaint. If you're using this system, they're finding things right. So you automatically have a better relationship with your manager, because you're not dreading that call from them. It isn't an automatically adversarial solution. You're really working together instead of against each other.
Yeah, and you talked about mindset. It's so important to have a positive mindset in anything that you're doing. So if you know going to work every day that you're doing well and that your manager is going to compliment you when you're doing well, as opposed to having them look over your shoulder, that 180 degree turn that you just talked about is so, so important. And it makes the redirect or the reprimand, whatever you want to call it, a lot simpler to do, because what the 1 minute reprimand is all about is just very, very, it's immediately, but briefly telling the person where the problem was, and that the problem's not good and we have to correct that. And then following that up with how much you value them and that type of thing. So you're going right from the quick redirect.
Just to clarify for our listeners, if you actually go out and read the book or listen to the book, you'll notice we're going back and forth between the term reprimand and redirect. Older versions of the book called it a reprimand. Newer versions call it a redirect, but the process is exactly the same.
Yeah, and I think the book was written for the first time like in the 90s when everything was about reprimands. So.
But, and it really is, it's a very simple system to use, very effective. And one of the things that they mention in the book that I really like about this system is that it gets rid of the dreaded personnel review. I mean, I remember I've had experience in corporate America with the personnel review on both sides, having to give it and having to get it. And it always seemed to be an exercise in futility. I remember when I was running a department at Reuters, we had to do personnel reviews. And I fill out all the personnel reviews and I go over it with everybody and I send it up the chain. And they sent them back to me because they said I was too positive. I gave my team too good a review. We can't have that. And I said, why not? And said, well, because your grades were so far above everybody else in the company. And I said, well, maybe the problem isn't with my team. Maybe the problem is the way we're doing these.
Absolutely. I mean, there's another book out that I've listened to a little while ago called The End of Average. And everybody relates things to what's average in people, and yet everybody has unbelievable talents, and the people who have achieved have just leveraged those things. That's maybe something we can talk about sometime in the future. But what this is, it's a very simple system. And actually, at the end of the book, there's this called a diagram image board game or whatever you want to call it. But it's, if you look at the top, it says start at the top with 1 minute goals on one sheet that you can read in 1 minute. That's the 250 words or less. And then on the left side, it has you achieving goals. And on the right side, it has you not achieving goals. So on the left side, if you achieve the goal, then you proceed to get a 1 minute praise. You proceed with your success and you go back and set new goals and you start the system all over again. Where on the other side, if you don't achieve your goal, then you're going to get the quick 1 minute redirect, and you're going to get the reassurance that you know you're going to be able to do it right and go back to the start again and get it right the next time. But the diagram kind of outlines things, and it's very, very simple. And it talks about the specifics of the 1 minute praise and the 1 minute reprimand or the 1 minute redirect. And in the 1 minute praise, it says just praise the behavior with true feelings. This is if you're the manager, do it right away. Be very, very specific. Tell the person exactly what they did right and how you feel about it, and encourage that person with your own true feelings to keep it up. Shake their hands, pat them on the back or whatever. Or on the other side, if you're doing the redirect, you identify the behavior very, very quickly that caused the problem and that you want them to correct it very, very soon. And then tell them that how you it made you feel about what happened and not them personally. That's very, very important. Obviously, nobody's perfect, then they're going to mess up. And if they mess up, it reflects on everybody. So if you can just identify that and then encourage the person again with true feelings to make it right, it's that simple. So it's a 1 minute goal, the 1 minute praising, the 1 minute redirect, and it's going to save you a whole lot of time. It's going to keep your mindset a whole lot more positive, as you mentioned. And it's just a really fantastic, less than 100-page book to kind of really help you focus.
What's really great about the system is that it starts with the assumption that, yes, you can do these things. You can meet your goals. You have the capability. You have the talent. And it's not trying to teach you how to overcome something. It makes the assumption right off the bat that, yes, if you have this job, you can do it. And your manager is, you know, in both the praisings and the reprimands, starting from the point of view that, yes, they know you can do this. In the praisings, they're telling you exactly what you did well. In the redirect, they're telling you that we know you're better than this. You can do this. And you made a mistake, so now you have to go fix it.
Yeah, and it's a 180-degree turn from the way management is perceived in the workplace. And I'm using the word perceived because the perception out there is that a manager is there to correct you when you're wrong and turn you in the right direction, assuming that you're not perfect and that he's going to have to do that. Whereas in the one-minute manager, he's assuming that you can do things properly, that you've done it in the past. And yes, if something goes wrong, he's going to correct you, but we're going to move ahead with the assumption that you're going to do well most of the time as opposed to the other way around. And again, that's a perception that's just out there. And if you hear people talking in the workplace, you're going to hear a whole lot more talking about bosses looking over their shoulder than bosses complimenting them.
Right. And one of the things that I really liked in the book also, there was one line where the manager says a problem without a solution is just a complaint. And the whole implication of it was you're the one that found the problem. You have the capability to solve it. So figure out exactly what's going to happen. And in the book, they go through three possible solutions which don't work. And then they, and then the person figures out that if they combine the three, it solves the problem. And all of this is being done without the manager's input. The manager is just letting them figure it out for themselves. And that's huge, because so many people in corporate deal with micromanagers, and you know, it has to be done their way. And this really shows you an effective management method that doesn't micromanage, that shows you, yes, you can do this. This is how you figure it out, but it's up to you to figure it out.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good segue into the second book too, because the second book, as I said, this is about this account manager for an advertising agency for a bank, and he's a new account manager. However, his boss did have confidence to give him that job in the first place. But what happened is he had a team, artistic director, budget manager, and so on and so forth, creative thing. And when he went in and did the presentation for the bank, it was more on their part rather than having talked to the bank first and figuring out what they want. And the thing was a disaster. So now he has to explain it to his boss, who was out of town. And he thinks he's going to lose his job and maybe he should resign first. And that's when he goes out for coffee at Kayla's coffee house and meets Kayla, who walks up to him and starts talking to him. And he is woe is me, blaming it on, you know, everybody but himself. And he said, actually, she coined the phrase with him, I guess you're having a little pity party, which is pretty funny. But the first thing that she did, the first homework assignment that she gave him, was going back to work and giving this survey to a couple of his fellow employees and his boss. And it's ranking workplace motivators. And what they had to do is they had to prioritize, just check off 1 through 10, what they thought was most important. And these topics were, and think about yourself as an employee, what motivates you? Interesting work? Is it full of appreciation of work done? Is it a feeling of being in on things? Is it job security, good wages, promotion and growth potential, good working conditions, personal loyalty to employees, sympathetic help with personal problems, tactful disciplining? These are all motivators. And a lot of times bosses will just assume, as did the boss here, not the one that I'm talking about, but his boss, that it's wages or it's this or it's that, when everybody is motivated differently. And if you understand that, then you're going to find it's easier to work with people because you're going to be playing to what motivates them. And then it talks about points of power in relationships, in knowledge, in the position that you're in the task, and in personnel. And what happened there was he actually was riding his motorcycle to just get a breather, and he broke down, and none other than Kayla pulls up beside him in a motorcycle, takes him to the Harley shop and gets it fixed. And she introduces him to all the employees there so he can get an understanding of all these different points there. And then what the book does is it goes to the different developmental levels that everybody has. And the bottom line is what this is geared towards doing is leveraging talents, like we talked about in the last book. And when you're faced with a particular task, say it's budgeting, you could either be an expert in it or you could be way down the chain. And they talk about the four levels of competence there. Number one is D1, which is low competence, but high commitment. This is when you first get the job and you're enthusiastic that you can get it done. And then after you take a quick lump, now your competence is still low. You might have a little bit, but your commitment level, because you've taken a lump, might be down a little bit, which is your development stage number two. And then number three is you're working on it a little bit more. You're having some success. So now your commitment is variable and your competence is moving up until you become level four, where you're high competence, high commitment. Now, as a manager, what you need to do is understand those four levels of competence and manage the people or look for direction, depending on where you are in the system, accordingly. And they have a situational leadership model in here, where there are leadership styles to helping out employees when they're working on this project here. And without walking through this whole thing right now, I mean, we can discuss this a little bit, but it really, it's people are motivated differently. People are capable of doing things in different levels, but the most important thing is communicating quickly with each other to get these things done, depending on the situation that you're in.
Right. And I think the key with all of this is that it's highly individualized, because you've got multiple types of motivation, multiple points of power, multiple levels of development, and you're not going to have two people that are identical in what their motivation is, where they are in development, what their points are. And trying to manage everybody exactly the same way doesn't work, because all of these systems are individual. So what really works with the one-minute manager is the fact that it's so simple, it allows people to adapt it to whatever their motivation is, to whatever their strengths are. And by using a one-minute goal, they can look at it and go, okay, this is my goal, this is what motivates me to do it, this is my, these are my strengths, and this is my level of competence, all to meet this goal.
Yeah, and in talking about the four developmental levels, what needs to be done is what they have is the situational leadership model. This is the management, and there are four different levels of management to support these things. And number one, when you have the D1 level, the supportive management is directing. So what you need is you need high direction and low supportive behavior, because the person really needs to be taught what they're going to be doing. And then when you get to number two, once they've learned a little bit, you're getting more into a coaching thing where you're still giving them high directive, but you're supporting them. These are the praisings that we talked about in book number one, so that they can move into the next level where they're getting more and more competent. So you still need high supportive there, even more so when they're doing well, and low directive behavior until they become number four, where they're in the delegating situation where they're doing things themselves. So they need very little support and very little direction. So these coincide beautifully, and there's a nice diagram in the back of the book that kind of explains this whole thing. And, you know, most of it is just common sense, but as you're saying, you have to identify where each person is, and everybody's an individual, has to be treated to their strengths, and they need to be directed where they need the help. So, again, this is a really, really good book, and the diagram on the last page summarizes everything beautifully.
Yeah, and the key to this is being supportive, because many managers feel it's their job to tell the people how the work has to get done. And this takes a different approach. You're giving them a lot of direction at the beginning when they're learning and they need it. But as the expertise grows, you don't have to direct them as much, and you switch to more of a supportive behavior. Because this is that you're telling them, okay, you've learned what you need to do. You have the talent to do it. We know you can do it. And as the person moves along, you're still giving them direction when needed, but that gets less and less common. Not because you're abandoning them, but because they don't need the direction. They know how to do it. And they still need support, but ultimately, you're delegating the job to them completely, and the manager just has to check in once in a while, because they have it. They have it under control. They've got the talent. They know what needs to be done, and they figured out their own motivation, so they're motivated to do it.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is the progress curve. If somebody comes in new and they need a lot of direction as far as exactly what they're doing, and obviously the support to do things properly and be complimented for what they're doing correct, that's so important up front. But as time goes on, again, getting back to book number one, 1 minute goals, 1 minute praisings, 1 minute redirects, you need less and less and less management as people become more self-leaders themselves. And that's how this whole thing goes together.
Right. And that really is the point of both books, is it does teach you a great way to manage, but it really teaches you how to manage yourself and how to be self-directed, which as businesses are getting more and more complex and more people are striking out on their own, more solopreneurs, more small businesses, you really need to be self-directed. And this is a great way to sort of make that transition from being managed to managing yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about everybody being their own entrepreneur. And if everybody can put these one-minute manager principles to work, no matter what their position is in the company and in their lives, it's going to simplify things a whole lot, and it's going to develop the relationships a whole lot better with in whatever situation they're in.
All right. And you know, as we've said before, simplification is key. The simpler your task is, the faster you can get it done, the higher quality you can do it, you can perform it with. It really is about simplifying what you have to do. And once you've done that, once it's simple enough that you can take on your tasks with no problem, that's when you're making great strides. That's when huge progress is made. And that's when you accomplish goals.
And it feeds your positive mindset and everything else. It's everything is related in this picture. So
exactly, because as you're making more and more progress to your goals, you're feeling better about yourself. The better you feel about yourself, the more you want to take on, the more goals you hit, and it just feeds itself. It's basically a feedback loop.
And what the system is all about is helping other people in that exact way. As we talked about right back at the beginning, it's praising first, and then obviously when things go wrong, it's a lot easier to point things out and then go back to the praise and the accomplishments. So I love the 180 degree turn in style in this, but it's so logical and it's so simple, and yet it needs to be done so much.
Absolutely. All right, we're coming up on the end of our time. So what do you think is the big takeaway from the books?
It's 1 minute goals, 1 minute praising, 1 minute reprimand or redirects, and identifying other people's talents and where they need help and putting this to work in the whole system.
Yeah, I think the big takeaways, two big takeaways. One is keep it simple. That's what the whole management system is about, is keeping it simple. And the second takeaway is come at it with the assumption that, yes, it can be done. When you're looking for things that you do right rather than looking for things that are done wrong, it puts you in a better mindset, you feel better about yourself, and you accomplish more. And that's, you know, the 1 minute manager and self-leadership and the 1 minute manager. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the iTunes app and the Apple Podcasts app, as well as wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever and make next week even better. See you then.